Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Roglic.
There's the goal!
Richie!
I'm Mark Benstead. Hello and welcome to the official Scotland podcast. This is the show that tries to give you guys a flavour of what's going on behind the scenes at the Scotland camp. And this is the perfect week to do it. Plenty happening here. A hive of activity, a huge week ahead for the national team. Those two crucial World Cup qualifiers fast approaching. Our guests on the podcast this week, Craig Anderson, known as SBL Stats, also a contributor to the Terrace podcast. Michael Grant, of course, of The Times, and our special guest, who's going to have a big role to play, we feel, in the coming days, is James McArthur, of course, of Crystal Palace and Scotland. We'll get to the coming games in just a second. Michael, from your point of view, how do you look back on the last two qualifiers and the kind of real fantastic performance that the boys turned in?
Yeah, they were terrific. I have been around the Scotland team long enough to have fears about what was going to happen in Lithuania, you know, and I think there was a lot of pressure on everybody, really, to deliver. You know, we've stumbled a lot over the years. We found Lithuania a difficult place to go and win over the years. And then there was a lot of attention on the pitch leading up to the game, you know, on the artificial surface. So what a relief it was to see the, not only the victory, but the performance. It was such a convincing victory, you know, and obviously James got one of the goals, and it was a great relief, and it pushed us through into the Malta game, which we won relatively comfortably at Hampden, and suddenly it's given us a fighting chance in the group.
I was thinking back, you know, having covered plenty of these games over the years, and I go back, I think it was Slovenia away, it was a 3-0, Darren Fletcher scored, James McFadden scored, and that was a good few years ago, but I was struggling to find another away performance that was as convincing as the one just gone, and it really sticks out now. It was really, that was the word for it, convincing.
It was convincing. The phrase that Gordon Strachan used after the game in his post-match press conference was, it was the most complete performance he's had in every sense, and it was really, really good. I thought it was mature. There was lots of energy in it. I just thought there was a great level of composure all the way through. There was no sign of nerves. Obviously, an early goal or early couple of goals is always going to help, but you've got to make that happen. You've got to create that kind of mood and vibe around the night, and Scotland did that. I'll be honest, I really feared for this campaign a year ago after Slovakia and Wembley. You think, this isn't happening. You know, the home game against Lithuania was bad enough until James rescued us partially with a late equaliser, you know. But there's a different mood around it now. And as I say, we've got a fighting chance with two games left.
James, how did you find that game there in Slovenia? Did you feel while you were playing it that it could be a big game, a big performance for the boys? Slovenia.
Yeah, it was obviously a massive turning point for us. We needed to go there and get a result. I think you mentioned the energy. I thought the energy that night was exceptional, and I think that's what drove us to win. We obviously had the composure, we scored good goals, but our drive that night was exceptional, and it gave us that momentum to go into the Malta game and get the result. Wasn't probably an amazing performance at home, but very professional.
Where did that drive come from? Was there something that was said? Was it something that the boys just felt themselves? Or was it just something that unfolded on the night? Sometimes that can happen in a game.
I think the previous results and performances, beating Slovenia at home and so close to beating a top team like England. Great performance on a day. That winning mentality, that drive to try and get the results to give ourselves a chance, as you say, we've done that, and now it's up to us to win the next two and make it happen.
Yeah, we'll get to those games surely. Craig, watching on from the sidelines and seeing those matches unfold, did you get a sense of, like, the players, that something could be taken from that England result, although it wasn't quite the win that everyone thought it would be at one stage, but to take something from the performance and getting a point?
Yeah, I think it was a turning point. Possibly even the turning point was the game before that against Slovenia at Hampden. We played probably as well as we had done in a couple of years at least. Looked like maybe it wasn't going to happen for us, and Chris Martin popped up with the goal, and that definitely gave them the belief heading into the England game. And then obviously that was a traumatic experience, traumatic, whatever word you want to use. Disappointing and promising at the same time, but the fact we did at least take the point and keep the keep the group alive for us was really important from that. And I think you could see when the players went out against Lithuania in that game, there was so much energy and there was so much ambition from there. I think Andy Robertson's performance kind of summed that up. You saw him half the time kind of on the right wing, kind of just popping up in open play because he sensed that, you know, there was something there to be done. It seemed like the kind of reins had been taken off him a little bit. And I mean, the same was true throughout the team, but I thought it was just such a complete and impressive performance out there, which was definitely spurred on by the previous two results.
Yeah, and the momentum then builds and gets taken on into the Malta games you touched upon. It didn't really matter what the scoreline was. It was just about getting it done. And sometimes people get focused on, okay, play a small team, rattle up the goals, but it didn't matter. No. It's all about trying to get that result. And I guess sometimes those are the games where you don't hide into nothing because you play against a Malta or a San Marino or something, or the Faroes, and people like say, oh, it's win it, score as many goals as you want, but they different challenges to what you would normally face, I guess.
You know what? International football is no easy game. Every single nation makes it hard for you. If the obviously a Malta coming here, they've made it hard for their own nations. And to get the victory that night is a relief as well, you know, because as you say, there's not much win out of it performance wise unless you go and rattle 5-6 goals in. But all that matters is the 3 points and give ourselves a chance for these games.
It was an awkward kind of night, that, because if the atmosphere wasn't great, you know, I mean, the crowd, it wasn't a full house, obviously. And I think the fans that go there are just kind of expecting a win. They just kind of sit back and wait for it to happen. Slovakia then go and score really early at Wembley, so you think, oh, you know, this is a night we could effectively get knocked out here if they win that game. So it was, I think it was quite professional of the team on the pitch to just go and get the job done, you know, and thankfully England did us a favour down at Wembley by turning that game around, and it was fine. But, you know, there were spells when it was quite quiet in the ground, and the guys had to kind of, you know, motivate themselves and get their own performance going. It'll be different this week because the place is going to be nearly full for Slovakia, you know, or it might even be a full house. But on nights like Malta, when James said, nobody's hammered them apart from us in the opening game. They've not been taking 4 and 5s off people that even England.
All those goals came.
So
late.
England got England got late goals. England got late goals against them, but it was 1-0 I think until about 85 minutes.
Yeah. What then is the feeling? You get the job done. You boys come back in the dressing room. What do you say when you've got that first part done? You've got the 6 points, and you think, well, here we go, lads. We've got a chance here.
Yeah, we think we've got a great chance. As you say, the Lithuania game at home. Everyone's down, the full nation's downbeat thinking we've let it slip again, but we've done excellent to try and get back in the group. We're in it now and Thursday night should be pretty special.
Does the squad feel reinvigorated over the last few games? Do you get a different sense? Although there's always a good feel around the Scotland camp when the boys come together, has it gone up a couple of notches over the last couple of meetings?
When you're winning football matches, it breeds confidence. Breeds want to play and want to keep winning, and that's where I feel we're at right now. We want to get the game played right now and get that victory.
Do you get a sense now that that's the feeling of everyone, Craig, watching on from the sidelines? People just can't wait for the next fixture to come along because there is that kind of, oh, here we go, we're in somewhere now, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, I've been since the full-time whistle in the Malta game, I've just been waiting for this one. Like, you know, go to the club football every week, I enjoy the club football, but I've kind of always had it on my mind, this is a game I've been looking forward to. It's actually my wedding anniversary on Thursday, so I'm actually had to kind of convince my wife that we can go out for dinner on Friday so I can get along to Hampden. It's massive, and I really get the feeling from everyone I speak to that they think we can certainly win these two games.
Surely a night out at a World Cup qualifier with what any young lady would like to have on a wedding anniversary. Yeah, it'd be a good night to treat her with. You might get a win to celebrate it. You know, talking then, Michael, about the fact that winning games, the boys' confidence goes up. Do you get a sense that with the results that have come over the last few games, Gordon himself has perhaps been reinvigorated a little bit? There might have been a point in the qualifying campaign where he dipped and lost that kind of edge.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from our point of view, the media coverage got negative. Of course it got negative after the Lithuania game. As James said there, you know, you think, here we go again. You know, we've all been through a lot of campaigns where there's been results you think, this is not looking good, you know. Then Slovakia, then Wembley. And the tone and the coverage around that point was, is Gordon going to stay on, you know? And, he, you know, that was a conversation that he participated in. It wasn't, you know, he's well-liked by most of the media guys, although he can be a difficult character for us to work with. But, so, you know, Craig mentioned that the Slovenia game turned it round, and it did in terms of results, but to some degree Wembley turned it round as well, because you know, that was the night Scott Brown came back in the team. Okay, the result wasn't great, we know that, but there was a lot of positives taken from the performance, and there was enough for Gordon to stay on, and rather than say, okay, I can't turn this, we can't turn this campaign around. So I think there was, although the results and the points came later, we've taken 10 points out of 12 since the turn of the year. But the final game of last year was significant too, I think, at Wembley.
Well, that's the scene set now for these games coming up. So I touched upon at the top of this programme, it's a very exciting, a very big week for everyone. Talk us through, and for everyone listening and watching this programme just now, what your week is like when you get together for a doubleheader like this. What's the kind of the build-up of the week? What's the schedule? Obviously, you had club duty to deal with first and foremost, and then you arrive here. What's the kind of the layout for you, James?
Get here, mingle with the boys straight away. It's like a club atmosphere, really. Everyone's looking forward to it. Everyone's buzzing off each other. The manager's got his own tactics that he needs to show is what he wants to play like. So tough training. It's good though, very tough. And obviously there's a lot of rest time as well that you need to make sure you're recovering, doing the right things. And it's all built up to the match. But everyone, as I say, everyone's really looking forward to it. Everyone wants to be in that starting 11 to participate in the game and try and help the nation.
Is it nice to catch up with some of the boys? So obviously, there'll be lads who you'll stay in touch with through the course of the league season, and you'll bump into at games when you come up against them, perhaps playing down in England. But are there other guys you look forward to catching up with and chatting to when you get together here at the team hotel?
Yeah, it's a good laugh. There's a lot of very good characters in the squad. So there's a lot of laughs, but at the same time, when we step onto that field, we know it's all work and very serious to try and make sure we're ready.
You need that, though, don't you? You need that bit of levity. You need someone who's always going to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, definitely, especially when you're coming away. It's a week away for the family. You miss them, obviously, but when you've got strong characters, funny characters, in that changing room, it makes it really enjoyable.
Who are the ones to watch? Usually the usual names come, it's Brown, it's Snoddy, these guys, the ones you have to keep a close eye on. Is that the case? Anyone else you can throw into the mix?
Barry Bannon, yeah, he's another one. But there's different characters all the way through the squad, which is good. There's more serious, there's funnier, there's ones that will listen and take everything in and laugh. But I think we've got a really, really good mix of boys. And normally when you get to a club or a nation, there's some people that you don't go on with, not here really. It's everyone gets on really well with each other, and I think that's very important as well.
Guys who can be a pain in the backside, but a good pain in the backside.
I wouldn't say a pain really, just a lot of laughs really, yeah.
Good to hear. That's what you want to hear behind the scenes of the team. And you do get a feel when you come down here that there is a buzz about the place. So much going on. There's actually a million things going on at the team hotel. One of the things going on today is actually the photo shoot for the new home kit due out at a date TBC. We haven't seen it because we're not important. Have you seen it yet?
I've not seen it.
No. You've not seen it yet, right? We're going to get you a quick glimpse of it. We're not going to get to cast our eyes on this because we're not important enough for this. But you're a VIP, so, right. So producer Michael can step in, do the honours.
I hope I like this.
I was going to say, we're sailing close to the wind. If you hate this kit,
green and white stripes.
That's nice.
Is he allowed
back
to
the old, innit? Really, rather than the more pink or modern. Yeah, it's really nice.
How much is he allowed to say about it now? Is he allowed to mention colours, designs? I don't want to.
Right?
You heard it here first. There you go. The new kit will have some blue in it. But you like it?
Yeah.
Does it matter as a player? If you like the kit, have you played in kits at teams or country where you thought, well, I don't really?
It's always nice to have a strip that you feel comfortable in. Yeah, I think that's nice. I think it's come back to the old, isn't it? Rather than, yeah, I would say I like it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have to watch this space, guys. In terms of Scotland kits, is there a particular favourite from memory? I guess ones associated with success will probably stand out.
Well, the one I remember is the Diadora one with the sort of asymmetric stripe down the right-hand side of it. I think it was like 2005-ish. It was when I kind of started properly going along to Scotland games, just after Walter Smith came in and we started winning a lot of games. Like we had the light blue away strip, which we wore in Norway and we wore in Slovenia. And I've got good memories associated with that one. So that's a kind of personal favourite. I managed to wear it to 5-a-sides probably until there was about 50 holes in it. So that was probably my favourite so far.
Michael, what are you? Was there a Scotland kit that stands over time?
I was wondering how to describe these because we're all talking about blue strips really over the last years. But I like the one, if you remember, any of the older fans will remember, 85 when we beat England at Hampden in the Rouse Cup game, Gough's header, that kind of... It's a blue kit. Well, you remember it, you don't, yeah.
Well, we will watch this space for the new one. Hopefully it's a kit that will coincide with success and a return to the tournaments for the team. Back to the business in hand then. Okay, let's not mess around anymore. The two qualifiers to come. Two wins is the target. Craig, just give us you're the man for stats. You're the man for a bit of pencil pushing and working things out.
Yeah.
Paint the picture for us exactly how things stand, what Scotland need to do and what the permutations could be in these coming games.
Yeah, so first and foremost, we pretty much need to win the two games. We could finish second with 4 points, but that shouldn't be in the mind because even if we do, chances are we won't make the playoffs with that. So I think James already knows that. They're going out to win the two games and I think we've got a good chance of doing that. If we do win the two games, it's very, very likely we'll be in the playoffs, but potentially there could be a combination of results which could lead to still missing out, but it would require, I think it requires some unlikely results. I think the big one is in Wales's group. I think pretty much Wales need to win both of their remaining games to finish better than us. There's the other group with Denmark, Poland and Montenegro. We need a very specific combination of results would be required that would leave us out. And then the final one is with Bosnia and Herzegovina and Belgium. Bosnia play Belgium at home, I think, in the next game. If they don't beat Belgium, then the two wins will definitely do it for us because they are currently kind of level with us in terms of how many points they have. So we could win the two games and not get through, but it would be a very unlikely result, or it would be a very kind of Scotland thing to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah,
Michael, right, yes, this, that,
right? Incredible detail.
That's what you want, that kind of detail to stuff. It's worth flagging it up because we want to be aware of all the scenarios,
yeah.
But that would be an unlikely, and we don't want to go down the route of that's the ultimate, yeah, kind of Scotland hard luck story. They want to be two wins, and that'll be enough.
Yes, if we get the two wins, then there'll be a playoff in November, home and away, of course. And, you know, we think we've got momentum now. If we're in the playoffs, then the momentum's going to be through the roof.
Yeah, that's because that is the fair. And for players, sometimes you speak to guys over the years doing this job, and when things are laid out in black and white, win the games and you get X, it becomes easier, doesn't it? You know, you're not working on permutations, win the games.
Yeah, I think we need to. I think we need to go in the mindset that we need to win, definitely. We need to look at the first game first. There's no use thinking about the second game. We need to concentrate on this game. The manager, obviously, as I say, have his tactics, have the way we want to play. And that's our focus, just one game at a time. We need to win this and that's it.
What do you make of the two teams? You know, the guys have obviously played both sides. And
I think both of them are good. I think Slovakia played that game and they were a really good side on night. There's a lot of changes from that team, our team, since that night. But it's going to be a tough match. But we've got a good record at home. And as you say, the momentum's with us, so we can go into that match with a lot of confidence and get the victory.
Yeah, and the team is much changed. You know, as you touched upon, that there's been a big sort of shift in personnel from the start of the campaign to now. Do you get a sense now, Craig, from watching on, that the team is more settled and in perhaps a better place, albeit injuries may have thrown a couple of spanners in the works for these games?
Yeah, I think just look at the performances in the last few games to see that the balance seems to be right. The balance in the midfield, especially with James in there with it was with Brown and Armstrong, but hopefully with two similar players, in, at least in style, that there does really seem to be a good mix right now in terms of how the team's set up. And I think those changes have helped that. The fact that the Celtic players are all coming in with a winning mentality is obviously really helpful. They've just had an excellent win last week, so the Celtic players who remain will be positive coming straight in because they're looking, if they can go to Belgium and beat the Belgian champions, they'll be thinking, well, we've got Slovakia, we've got it at home, we think we can win. They're kind of fearless at the moment, and so that makes a big difference, I think.
Yeah. Michael mentioned we are at the team hotel. You've been on doing the day job previously. You've been in speaking to Gordon Strachan. What do you get a sense is his reaction to the injury blows he's been dealt across the course of the weekend's games?
Listen, he's excellent, Gordon, at just kind of shrugging his shoulders and getting on with it. It's almost like, you know, it's a blow that he absorbs it when he gets the news and then he forgets about it. Now, there's a lot more to it than that. But you know, he doesn't want to get the message out there that, oh well, it's all doom and gloom when we're moping because we don't have a captain around. You know, he's a manager. His job is now to manage the situation and to put together a midfield and put together a team and, you know, find another captain, all the rest of it, to get us through these two games. So we know what Gordon Strachan thinks of Scott Brown. I mean, he thinks the world of him. He spent £4.5 million to get him to Celtic years ago. You know, they've got a very close relationship, those two, but he has to do without him. So, you know, that's fine. You just suck it up. And, you know, he was asked, you know, would the rest of the boys be sort of down in the dumps about it? And he said, well, no, they won't, because they're professionals. And although that you all miss Scott and miss the influence he's had, which has obviously been big since Wembley, they're all guys that think, right, well, I can do it. You know, I'll step up, I'll fill in, I'll score the goals, I'll win the tackles, I'll lead the side. I mean, you are talking about guys that are operating at a high level of football. So, you know, we're all sore that that Scott's going to be missing, but you get on with it. And that was the message from Gordon as well.
Yeah, James, what's the reaction of the players when you hear the news, either be it via media or you turn up at the team hotel and you realise that a couple of boys have been forced out, and especially guys who are big characters and big figures in the team? How do you greet that news?
Yeah, it has gotten. The two boys which I played with the last couple of games, it's gotten that they're not going to make it, but there is, as you're saying, there's top quality players that are playing at high level of football, ready to step in. We've got quality all the way through the squad, so everyone's wanting, as I say, is fight for that jersey and be in the first 11 to play. And we're just looking forward to the challenge that's coming up. But obviously, the challenge is harder without the boys that aren't coming along, but it's a challenge we're looking forward to, and we're thriving to succeed in that.
You're what, 30 caps now for Scotland? One of the senior boys now, I think,
yeah,
to say.
Old,
I know,
old.
It just seems baffling to think he was one of the senior boys now. You've been a long time around the group. In that position, do you feel you need to do something more or do something different with the absence of someone like Scott, especially in the position you play?
Everyone's going to need to step up. Yeah, he's a massive player for the country. He's done it over the last so many years. He's a player I rate really, really highly. I'm actually gutted he didn't go down to England. I think he could have showed everyone down in England how good he is as well. That's how highly I think of him. I think he could be playing at a top team in England. Obviously, Celtic are a top team in Scotland, but I'm gutted he didn't make that move, really.
That's high praise for a man who unfortunately isn't available for these games. In terms of the guys who are available, I'm not going to ask James to suggest who may come in for him, although I think your chances of starting have increased over the last 48 hours or so. Who would you like to see? Obviously, Cal McGregor, fantastic at the weekend, as was John McGinn in that thrilling game at Celtic Park in the Premiership. Who would you like to see Gordon go with in that midfield?
I think it's a really hard question. I think you look at the midfield from the previous two games, and essentially what you want to do is just emulate that as much as possible. So James is going to be in there, and you're looking for and then you're in my team, and then you're probably looking at, you know, someone with the legs and the running and the kind of ability of Armstrong. And I think the most similar we've got there is John McGinn now, who can actually, he just offers a wee bit, something a wee bit different that a lot of the other players don't have. That game when he came in and made his debut last year, I forget who it was against, which is poor from me, the friendly,
Denmark
friendly, I thought he came in and he just looked like he'd been playing for Scotland for 10, 15 years. It was like really composed. And maybe you stick him and McGregor both straight into the team, but at the same time, you're also thinking about Darren Fletcher, who hasn't been in the team as much for Scotland of late, but you look back to big games for Scotland, you think about Lithuania back in 2004, you think of Czech Republic, whenever that was, 2011 or whenever that one was, the big games, he's turned up and he's turned in excellent performances. And I think when you're looking for a replacement for Scott Brown, someone who can lead in the middle of the park, you probably won't find anyone better than him for that. And he still has been playing regularly at a top level of football, so wouldn't have any worries about getting him in. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it was a kind of younger, fitter, more, I shouldn't say fit, Darren Fletcher's very fit, but younger, more midfield with more running in them that got the start too.
Michael, I guess it is the big decision for Gordon, who he goes with. He's got the experience there, guys who've been there and done it at the top level for a great number of years, or he's got two very young, exciting players to choose from in midfield.
Yeah, I think that is exactly the dilemma. I mean, if you look at the back four that Slovakia had in the last game at England, they're all in their 30s, you know, and there's an awful lot of experience. They've won, you know, 200-300 caps between them, but you know, you would look at it and think, okay, maybe we can get at them with a bit of pace and a bit of youth and movement. We've got Phillips, we've got Forrest that can hit them through the middle. You know, James has shown that he can score at international level as well. He's just done it in the Lithuania game. You know, I think we do need goals from midfield. I don't think you'll play both John and Callum from the start. I mean, Gordon has not really been that kind of cavalier. You know, he's not. You know, guys have had to kind of earn their way in the team. Callum has earned his way in the squad. I could see John starting though. You know, he's another one that Gordon thinks the world of. He's had him in a lot of squads, and I was at Celtic Park on Saturday, and that's the best I've ever seen John McGinn play. He was exceptional. Not just the goals, but his overall performance.
Up against a midfielder in Olivier and Cham, they spent a good bit of money on and ran the show in many ways.
He did. Yeah, he was the best midfielder on the pitch on Saturday.
I'm not going to ask you, as I say, who would go in there, but in terms of other players in the squad who can make a difference, Matt Phillips is a guy who's come in of late. Injuries have kept him out previously. Talk to us about him as a player. You know, you've seen him at club level as well. You've seen him up here for international team. How good a player is he, and what does he bring to this side?
I'm really delighted for him, to be honest, because he's shown in the last two games what he's been doing in England for the last so many years. He's came here, has been unfortunate, not played as much as he would like. But you see the pace and power that he's got with real quality. The goal that I can remember, probably one of the best goals I've ever seen playing in, was against QPR, and they hit it for 45 yards and it went barn in like that. Not up. Mm-hmm. So the quality he's got is exceptional, and I'm really pleased for him, yeah.
Do you get a sense from him as well, from speaking to him as a player, a guy who's really appreciating being back in? Because again, he was in and around and injuries kind of slowed that kind of involvement down.
Yeah, he's obviously delighted to be back in the squad and playing. Any player wants to play for their country, and obviously playing well and winning is extra special.
See, a player who's excited you, Craig, in the time he's been back in amongst things. He seems to have made a big impact in these last couple of games.
Yeah, I thought it was a breath of fresh air when he came into the team against Lithuania. He just offered so much kind of a different element to the attack. It was back to the days when Aketjianya came in at first. It kind of reminded me of that in some ways, where he kind of came into the team a bit out of the blue and you didn't know what to expect from him. You know, he's performed well at club level, but it is a different style of football, and he just immediately terrified the fullback. I think the fullback just couldn't cope with him all day, and I think that he kind of started off in terms of the way the team proceeded, which was positive attacking, running at people, just being direct. And I think I was hugely impressed by him, and I think he could play a big part again in the coming games.
Michael, is he a player you have been impressed with when you've seen him? He's got that pace, he's got that direct running is a big part of his game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when he's on form, he's it must be very, very difficult to play against. You know, I mean, he's quick, he's direct. The boys were saying he's predominantly right footed, but I think you can play off both, you know. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure if he was going to really kind of emerge as a prominent Scotland player. I mean, he's been around the scene for a long time, and Craig Levine, I think, got him in first of all, and he didn't really kind of bed in and you know, was in and out. So I'm surprised that he's come through this season in this campaign for us, but delighted, because you know, any guy that's delivering at international level more than merits his place, and obviously his club form and his form in training, because I know that James will tell you that Gordon puts a lot of stock in how boys are looking in training, you know. He's obviously impressed him there, and so that's how he got into the last double header. And I mean, nobody really played better than him over the two games.
I guess it's a good thing to have options, but you've also got James Forrest, who has had a real purple patch and has found a goal scoring edge. You know, he said recently, Brendan had said to improve your numbers, and that's what he's done. He's getting more goals for his appearances.
Well, it's funny, we're sitting here, we've got this squad list in front of us, and there's three big black lines through it, you know. Armstrong, Brown and Ritchie are the three that have gone out, and one of the sad things about that is all three have got goals for Scotland, and so has James, obviously, with four. Darren Fletcher's got 5, James Morrison 3, but there's quite a few there that have yet to get off the mark, and the most surprising of them is James Forrest. You know, James, if he gets a cap on Thursday night, well, that'll be his 20th game for Scotland and hasn't scored yet. You know, and I find that amazing, really, because I've seen him score so many important goals for Celtic. I mean, he's got that kind of great way of cutting in, and you know, he buries a shot in the far inside the far post. I've seen him do it umpteen times for Celtic. So, you know, James, if you fancy doing it on Thursday, that'd be nobody's going to be complaining about it.
Well, I tell you what, this James isn't bad for a goal at any time. Exactly. Bet these days. You're liking a strike for the national team now. Is that something you feel you can bring to the side of Cage? I know it's not the bread and butter of what you do, but you can chip in when needed.
I think, as you're saying, everyone needs to chip in. And it doesn't matter who scores the goal or goals on Thursday. It can be, for instance, Lee Griffiths. Everyone would be happy for Lee to score. They would be happy if whoever's playing right back to score, you know. So obviously you're saying about numbers that matter for individuals, which is very true and important, but as long as we get the right amount of goals to win the match, that's all that matters.
Yeah, you just wonder how crucial at the end of the campaign Chris Martin's late goal could prove to be in terms of the shape of everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a weird group of late goals. I mean, James has won against Lithuania. I mean, although we all came away pretty depressed that night because it was one each, I mean, it could have been a defeat. And the Chris Martin one, as you know, Craig said earlier, massive result. That was another night that seemed to be drifting away from us. The fans were getting a bit restless, and obviously Chris, you know, was jeering when he came on, but, you know, by God, he turned it round. We saw what happened against England at Hampden. That's late goals again, so it's been it might be a night on Thursday where we just have to be patient and wait till the end, but again, if it comes right at the end, that's fine. Mm. You know, if that's a winner right in the last minute, great. It won't do anything for our nerves or the quality of our match reports, certainly.
I think as players, that's important as well, with the fans staying on our side, you know, because at times it's going to be tough. It's going to be, they're a good side, they're going to have a lot of the ball at times, but it's important, as the fans always do, and stick behind us and keep driving us on. I think the Slovenia game, they done that, and if they did change and they started booing or jeering, then we might not have got that goal, you know. Yeah. So to stick with the players and keep going and keep pushing us on, that's massive as a player.
I mean, Slovakia are a good side, and a draw is probably going to be good enough for them. Mm. You know, so it might be, it's not going to be easy, as you know. I mean, we'll be absolutely euphoric if we get an early breakthrough against them, because it'll take a lot of the nerves out of the night, but it could be one that's just tight right through to the end.
Yeah, but Craig, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Any big stadium, big crowds, it's great when you want that initial push, but sometimes when the match doesn't go, you don't get that early goal, it can dip, and there can be those kind of like mumps and moans, and people start to kind of get a bit of anxiety. But everyone has to remain patient and see this through, because it doesn't matter when the goal comes, as long as it comes.
Yeah, I think probably earlier in the campaign you have more of a problem with restlessness, but I think when it gets to this stage, the fans know how important it is, and they usually, my impression from previous campaigns is they do keep on the side of the players, even if it goes behind. Like, if you think of the Italy game back in 2007, we went behind really early, but the crowd never kind of started to get on the players' backs. They kept behind them, we got the goal, we were pushing right up to the end, and the crowd made such a big difference that day, and the players were inspired by it, and everyone was in kind of kept a positive attitude throughout. And I think the same will happen on Thursday night. I don't think it'll matter what happens, you know, in the first little while. I think the fans will stay with the players throughout the game, and we all know everyone's pushing for the same thing.
Because there's a bit of trust and there's a bit of momentum, and you know, the last 4 or 5 performances have been so good that fans will stick with them, I think, you know, and so that is different from if you're coming into it off the back of a couple of defeats. You know, fans are going, oh, here we go again. I mean, listen, the fact that it's nearly full says it all. You know, the fact that, I suspect it probably will be a full house by the time the boys run out on Thursday night. So that shows that the support that they're going to have.
You mentioned that Italy match. It is the biggest moment since then. I remember the build-up to that game, how big it was, how the excitement built and built and built. It's going to go through the roof if this first result gets put to bed, isn't it? That's the reality.
Yeah, I think the first result, if we win that game, I definitely wouldn't grudge James the pressure that they would have on them going into the game. But at the same time, I think the players all know it's such a brilliant opportunity to make themselves heroes for everyone. You know, they're going to have a full country behind them, which something you never get at club football. You only get that with the international football, which is everyone, both on Thursday and then hopefully again on Monday, once we've done the business on Thursday night, will be behind them. And, you know, there will be as many people in the stadium, and then everyone at home will just be all looking for the same thing. And the pressure will crank up, but so will the kind of support.
But that's the word, Craig, gives opportunity. And that's the way you must view it as a player. Now you could potentially be 4 good results away from playing at a World Cup.
Yeah, it's last year, when Wales qualified, we've got a couple of boys, Wayne Hennessy and Joe Ledley, and you know that they're going to Euros, and it's devastating, really, you know, when you're listening to them talking about how excited they are. You see the fans there, the journey they go on, and we've not gave the fans that either. So it's obviously massive games, which we want to repay the fans for the incredible support throughout the number of years. And as players, you want to play in major competitions. You want to get there, you want to do well for your country. And as you're saying, being heroes, like, it's so important for us to know that your mum, your friends, your dad, everyone is proud of you and know that you succeeded in a Scotland shirt.
I think the younger players, well, they're all really young to me, but won't quite appreciate how big it'll be when Scotland do get back to a tournament. It is going to absolutely explode when Scotland get back to a tournament, because it's been so long. What happens is you qualify in a tournament in October, November time, you've then got 6-7 months of build-up, maybe more than that, and it just cranks up and up and up and up. I covered 98 World Cup in France and the previous Euros, and it is, it was enormous then, and that was back in an era when we were qualifying for tournaments. So add on 20 years when we've not got there, and you've had a whole generation, or even almost 2 generations of fans who would like to go to a tournament and haven't been able to do it. They're all going to want to get tickets. They're all want to go. It's huge. I mean, you cannot exaggerate how big it would be. And it's exciting. You know, that's the bottom line. It's just exciting. So, I mean, that's what we're on the brink of if we get the right set of results over the next, what are we talking about, 6 weeks? If we get to playoffs?
Okay, you think we're annoying in the media now. Imagine if that build-up happened all the way up to a World Cup. That's it. It'd be daily diaries in the papers galore from all the boys there inside the squad story. But that is the thing. That's the prize at stake. It's what's there for the boys. And just in terms of what it would mean to you, know, you'll have seen bits of World Cups here, there, and have you watched them from afar. To know you could line up in one of those games, to see, you know, your name listed on the team sheet for a World Cup match must be a huge motivation for you and all the boys in that squad.
Because
a lot of very talented Scotland players haven't had that over the last few years.
Definitely. It's one of the ones where you watch as a kid. You watch, I can remember the 98 watching. We actually watched it in a cinema. Our school took us, everyone, to the cinema to watch it against Brazil. And those are memories that always stick in my mind, and that's what you want to give young people coming up. Those memories of playing in a World Cup, of, oh, can you remember he scored that goal, or, you know. So it's something we are striding towards. We want to get there. We're doing everything we possibly can on training field, which is important. And obviously, we need to make the step up in the match as well.
Brilliant stuff. Great place, I think, on which to leave things. Gentlemen, thanks for your time here. Thanks for the positive words of encouragement. I think everyone now is not split over how things lie in front of us over the next 7 days or so. Big opportunity for the lads to close in on a place at the World Cup. Let's get a bit of housekeeping done then before we wrap up. Tickets are amazingly still available. I can't quite believe this. Surely, everyone wants to be at this game. You do not want to look back and say you could have been at the game when Scotland took a step towards their first World Cup in a couple of decades and missed out. Get your tickets. They're available in person from the Handham Museum until Wednesday, and available at tickets.scottishfa.co.uk. Get them. And when you go to the game, if you do go to the game, the free buses are again in operation from Buchanan Bus Station to Hampden and back for the game. More information can be found on the Scottish FA website. The key info is that the buses will run from 5:30 p.m. and 6:30 from Buchanan Street going to the game, and they'll leave from Hampden back into town from 9:50 p.m. If you want more Scottish football action across the course of this week. You can fill your boots. There's loads this week. The under-20 rounds are in action on Friday night. Scotland play England in Middlesbrough. Tickets available for that one via the FA website. Check that out. And finally, the under-19s are in action on Wednesday night in Livingston. Tickets are available from that one. And if you can't get along in person, you can check out the Facebook page and the YouTube page of the Scotland national team and watch the action there. And gentlemen, once again, thanks for your time. Here's to, hopefully, 2 Scotland wins over the coming week and a step towards a place at the World Cup in Russia. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Cooper comes up, hits it. Yeah!
Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fanning!
Go, Cleach.
There's the goal! Richie!